Blog Talk Radio.
To the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the best-selling book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. All right, everyone. Well, today I'm going to be interviewing Jason Lincoln Jeffers about this phenomenon called Indigo and Crystal Children. Now, I'm very excited about this because I've met some crystal children and some indigo children who are very, very special, and I'm sure that you have probably met them too, but not know who they are. So Jason Lincoln Jeffers is actually a spiritual teacher. He's also the author of The Next Human. And, you know, I had interviewed him before about his amazing book. And him and I have so many things in common, including both of us healing from fairly serious chronic illnesses and using holistic medicine and spirituality to help us get from A to B. And so Jason Lincoln Jeffers, actually, in addition to being a spiritual teacher, he's also an amazing artist. So if you go to his website, you'll see the amazing art that he has there. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, the reason I have Jason on the show today is because he actually works very closely in coaching families and these special children. I know from a few of my friends who have some of these special children, sometimes life is not that easy because sometimes these children are labeled as having a disorder or a problem like ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder or having speech delay or having major sleep issues. But the cool thing is that there are ways in which we can support these children in this world. And Jason will share with us why these children are important and what is so special about them. So let me just unmute Jason's line here. Hello, Jason. Thank you for being on the show again. We're so excited to have you back.
Hi, Dr. Karen. It's so wonderful to be back with you on your show, and thank you so much for having me again. Appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, and if people are joining us live and you'd like to ask Jason a question, you can do so by calling in 818-514-1190 and hit number 1 so we know that you have a question. So again, that number is 818-514-1190, and just hit the number 1. So, Jason, first of all, let's go back to basics for people who have not heard of indigo and crystal children. What are they? Who are they?
Well, they are these very advanced souls that have been around the block a few times, so to speak, the universal block, and have traveled a myriad of worlds in countless lives. And they are very old souls that have volunteered to come to planet Earth at this particular moment in time in our history during this shift that's taking place right now, the end of the 13,000-year cycle that's just completed on December 21st of 2012, and now we're coming into a brand-new 13,000-year cycle where the chakras of the Earth have switched, have changed places, and are in new positions. And because of this new frequency, it is now time for these beautiful souls, these next human children, the crystals, the indigos, the rainbow, the dolphin children, all of these star children to come to the Earth and to help raise the frequency, the vibration of planet Earth that will facilitate the evolution of our species and help the rest of us evolve into the next human.
Wow, that's amazing. So what are, like, who of these children are there certain, is there a certain order that they're born, or, you know, will you get more crystal children now than indigo children born? I don't really understand that part.
Okay, sure. Well, they have been coming in generations. The first ones were indigos, and they started coming around 50 years ago. Some came a little bit earlier, but they really started to come in about 50 and 40, and then in about 30 years ago, we had a massive wave of indigos. So they're around the age of 30, late 20s, early 30s, most of them right now. And then in the mid-1990s, around 1995, 1996, we started to see a wave of crystal children. There's a lot more similarities than differences, but I can just give you a general distinction between the indigos and the crystals. The indigos are more reformers. They are here to reform society. They are going to be in key power positions on the planet. So many of them will get into government. They will rise to the top in corporations, organizations, institutions, and also in Hollywood. They will be producers and directors of the next generation. So they will wield an enormous amount of influence, also technology. Indeed, no doubt Steve Jobs was an indigo. So these are major reformers in society that will propel us into clean energy technologies, so that we will do away with the fossil fuels of oil and coal and all of these Paleolithic technologies, which really need to go the way of the dodo. So they really are the iconoclasts. Okay, that's what I look at the indigos. I think of them as the iconoclasts. The crystals are natural healers. Most of them are going to be in the healing professions of some sort, and in the light workers. So they will get into Reiki and Qigong and acupuncture and all the alternative medicine approaches to healing that you and I talk about in our books. And this is, of course, going to be the healthcare system of the new earth. This is the new healthcare system, the new holistic approach to healing. And instead of a disease care system, which we have today, so the crystals are going to help to reform that. And so many of them are going to be getting into the natural healing and wellness modalities. So a big wave came in the mid-1990s, so they're going to be approaching their late teens right now and early 20s, many of them. And now we also have another wave, which we can call the rainbow children. We're calling them these names because of their auras, by the way, for those who don't know why. The indigos have indigo-colored aura, which is the most highly advanced color in our spectrum. It's the last one of the last colors of the rainbow, obviously, but it is a very high vibration on the ethereal plane, which is where we go, which we call heaven. This is where we go when we transcend this physical plane. But that auric color, the indigo, is very, very, it's reserved only for very master souls. And then the crystal children, the reason why they're called crystals is because we can't see their auras in this particular spectrum. You really have to have a third eye that's very highly refined in order to detect the color, because the color is of a higher dimension. It's actually of the sixth dimension. And so because you can't really detect it, it looks clear. Their auras appear to be crystal-like. And so that's the reason why we call them crystal. And then the newer generations, the ones that are being born in the 2000s and today, the rainbow, we call them rainbow children, and also dolphin children is also another name for them. But they have a beautiful multicolored aura, and they're even more advanced and even older than the predecessors, the crystals and the indigos. So as the newer babies are born, the older master souls at the same time are being born. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time to be alive.
Wow, that is just fascinating. And how does one, like, quote-unquote, know if they have an indigo or crystal or rainbow dolphin child?
Well, they look pretty much like every other child, but with one major distinction, appearance-wise, is the eyes. The eyes will usually have a very liquid, mystical, a very deep look into them, and when they look at you, they look like it's like they're looking through you. It's like they're looking into your soul. So it's a very ancient, very old look in their eyes. So that's one thing that sets them apart. The other thing is that they're highly empathic. All next human children are highly empathic. They can sense and feel what others are, and as they grow older, this will only intensify and become more finely tuned as they realize that they have this gift, this natural psychic abilities. They can read the minds of people. They can feel the emotions of people around them, which is because of this extra sensitivity. Then we have to really, really be careful of violence around them. I'm not just talking physical violence. I'm talking emotional violence. Even raising your voice to a next human child can be very traumatic. They avoid emotional, especially the crystals and the rainbows. They really avoid any type of emotional violence. They can't stand it because it so goes against the grain of their frequency. They are all about peace, about love, about harmony, and in this pain body that exists in this particular realm today, in this earthly realm, that so many current humans identify with, which is emotional violence, is so the antithesis of who these next human children are. So if you do have one and you recognize that they are really running away and reacting to any emotional violence at all, just by raising your voice even, they can feel it so strongly, and they'll cry, they'll become hurt, deeply hurt. And it's the same thing that has to do, you know, when they get start school. I have a good friend who has an ex-human daughter, and, you know, the teachers, even though the teachers weren't raising their voices to her necessarily, they were raising their voices to other children around her, she's afraid to go to school.
Aww.
I mean, she's so afraid. She couldn't even get out of the car this morning because, again, this emotional violence, they are so sensitive to that. So that's one way to recognize, one, the empathic abilities, the intuitive abilities, and two, the fact that they are extremely sensitive, and three, that they are also sensitive to chemicals in foods, to genetically modified foods of any kind, to trans fats, hydrogenated oils, to water that contains fluoride, because fluoride is not as only is it more toxic than lead, but it calcifies the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
And the pineal gland is really the power of the next human child.
Right.
It is their stargate, so to speak. And so we really need to protect that. So if you do have a next human child, by all means, don't let them drink tap water, and even bottled water, which I stated in my book and state the studies that show it, has fluoride. Even bottled water, many bottled waters, they're not regulated. They contain chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and all these other carcinogens. So really the safest water to give them is reverse osmosis, distilled water. And that way, you're for sure not giving them fluoride. And even boiling water doesn't remove fluoride. It removes a lot of the other stuff, but it doesn't remove fluoride. So fluoride is so important because to keep out away from your any child, not just the next human child, but any child, because it calcifies the pineal gland, and that pineal gland is what allows us to become empathic. It allows us to have our altered states of consciousness. our out-of-body experiences, the Kundalini awakening, the life force, the chi, energies, all of that is stimulated by the pineal gland, which is our third eye, okay? So we really have to protect that, and fluoride is one of the best ways to do that, just prevent the child. So by all means, don't let them, you know, use fluoride toothpaste or anything like that. So.
Wow, yeah, I heard that you can use some, what was it, skate oil to decalcify the pineal gland. I haven't used it myself, but I thought.
Yeah, I heard that too, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And I've noticed in my practice, Jason, that, and I have more women than men, so I can't say it, you know, a lot about the men, but a lot of my patients are having pineal gland issues that have seemed to got. They seem to be worse since the shifting electromagnetic frequency of the Earth over the last
mm-hmm.
year or two. And I can feel it myself in my physical body. In many ways, it's very stressful. And I recently discovered that if I did more grounding, that it would somehow balance that shift in the pineal gland. So I've been practicing more of that and sharing that with my patients. I don't know if you've noticed, you know, with the shifting of the magnetic and you know, electronic frequencies of the Earth, whether, you know, you've noticed anything like that happening with yourself or people you know.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. Yeah, there's been so many changes within my body in the last 12 years. It's been really unbelievable transformation that's taken place. But and also I've noticed that with many people around me and clients and so forth too. So, yeah, absolutely, I agree with you.
Mm. Well, and then about these children, is it true that many of them seem to be labeled or, you know, diagnosed as being sick, like having ADD or being oppositional defiant or having speech delay, which my understanding was, well, they're empathic, so why should they talk? You know, is that true that they tend to be categorized that way?
Yes, it is. Many of them do have speech impediments because, again, they are not used to using their vocal cords. They come from planets where they speak telepathically. Send thought waves to one another, and so there's no need for that. So it's kind of awkward for them to have to speak. So many of them are mutes for a while. Many of them are just don't talk very much. So that's another sign. The ADHD thing, which many of them are diagnosed with, is not because they have a disease of some sort. It's just because they're simply bored with the mundane, rudimentary process of education that we have on this planet, and because men, they've already learned everything that we're teaching. So, you know, and so many of them don't really get good grades in high school just because there's no need to study, that they don't like what they're studying, they're much better in advanced studies when they go to college or when they're self-taught, when they can study subjects that they really enjoy studying and reading about, and that's when they excel. That's when they can really go through the roof. So when they're forced to comply to any regimented study routine, then no, they tend to wander off and look out the window, and then they're prescribed with Ritalin, and then that's not good. And it's the same thing with sugar. Stay to keep as much sugar away from your next human child as possible, because this creates a hormonal imbalance, and sugar is toxic and poison to their system. And if you just keep giving them sugar and sugar and sugar, they're going to get sick. They're going to get physically ill, and you're going to have a lot of doctor bills because of that. So that's another indication that you have a next human child if you're feeding a lot of sugar and they're constantly sick. Well, then you just put two and two together. So.
Well, and there's so much hidden sugar in things like, you know, that are supposedly healthy, even juice, you know, things like that, that sometimes it takes a really educated parent to understand these things.
Right, and in the book, in Chapter 3, I go into detail on that. So that's a good chapter to read if you are raising a next human child, and you want to make sure they get the right diet because there is an unknown sugar addiction in this country. Like you said, we don't know what we're eating is actually being converted to sugar. The high glycemic index foods, such as white rice, like potatoes, and pasta, and the juices,
corn.
like you mentioned, and corn, and all these starchy foods, and there's no nutrients in starch. Okay, so if you're feeding your child nothing but starch, and of course they're going to crave it because starch turns to sugar. It turns to glucose in the body, and so they get that sugar high one way or another, whether they're eating candy or whether they're eating spaghetti. You know, the body still converts it into sugar. So in bread and all that stuff, instead, if you start feeding them low glycemic index foods, which are your nutrient-dense vegetables, and such as your Brussels sprouts and your broccoli and your kale and all the good, healthy vegetables, the colorful vegetables especially, because the colors, the pigments in the colors are the antioxidants, such as in sweet potatoes, and also all of your peppers. And, of course, greens are so important because chlorophyll is important, and so it's important to get the green juice into the body. And so if they want something sweet, then I recommend getting stevia, which is a natural herb. There's no side effects to it. It's not sugar. It doesn't convert to sugar. And then, you know, and put a little bit of that in the green juice if they like something sweet. So that's what I do, and that way they don't get the toxic sugar in their system.
That's great advice. Well, what about indigo adults? Are they more likely to be addicted to sugar or caffeine, or is it just sugar that's the problem?
Well, indigo adults tend to get, especially the older ones that are around, not so much the younger ones, but the older ones that are now in their late 30s, 40s, and even 50s, some of them, have probably at some point become addicted to something. Just because they tend to be very all or nothing, and they just kind of have that type of personality where they, you know, they like to live it all the way or not at all, because that's part of the learning process. So, yeah, of course, they will get addicted to certain things, whether it be food or drugs or alcohol or whatever. But they get past it, they move past it. These are old souls, so they know that they have a mission. They know that they have a life purpose, and they know that they can't fulfill that purpose if they're going to adhere to their addictions. So they move past it, and so they naturally attract to them the right healers, the right modalities, the right diet that will help to move them past that, so that they can fulfill their vocation and their life purpose here on Earth. I counsel next human children all the time who are depressed, many of them, because they don't know what their life path is. They know it has to do with helping others in some way, and many of them are they're in law, they're in accounting, they're doing things that are really going against the grain of their true vocation, and they really want to get more into the healing arts and so forth. So I help to counsel them on that with the life path astrology readings, and that helps to guide them and put them on the right path.
Oh, that's great. Now, we do have a question from one of our listeners, but before we go to the question, I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you, you know, what's your website and your contact information, and what kind of services, and you just mentioned some, that you do, and like who's the perfect client for you.
Okay, first of all, my website is jasonlincolnjeffers.com. It's written just like it sounds, and then the life and wellness coaching, I do that via Skype. I counsel clients all over the world. And I also do the intuitive astrology. Astrology I've been studying since I was 12. So now for about almost 36 years. So that is something that's very helpful to people who are looking for their life path. So we do the life path astrology and also the life and wellness coaching. Because I've been, like you said earlier, we both share that path, but we've both been very sick, chronically ill for a long period of time. So I counsel a lot of clients who are going through that as well, chronic fatigue syndrome, especially because I've been down that road, I've been there, and now today I'm very, very happy and grateful that I'm in perfect health.
Ah, fabulous. Okay, so that's jasonlincolnjeffers.com, everyone. And if you want to get a hold of his book, it's also available there as well. There's a link right to the book. And it's a beautiful cover, by the way. Did you design it?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
The artist. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's go to our caller. And by the way, if you would like to ask Jason a question, the number to call in is 818-514-1190, and just hit the 1 afterwards so we know your hand is up. Again, that number is 818-514-1190. Okay, so I'm going to unmute. Okay, so caller, phone number ending in 0056. Do you have a question for Jason today?
Yes, I do. This is Pat. How you doing?
Hi, Pat.
I wanted to know, can you possibly be both, like indigo and crystal? And also, does dowsing help to find out which one you may be? Does that work?
Okay, thanks, Pat, for calling, for the question. First of all, the labels that we call these children, there's a lot of gray areas. So it's not appropriate to say you're either one or the other. That's why I kind of, in the book, I kind of lump them all in together as just next human children and then include, you know, all of the above. But, yes, of course, you can have traits of an indigo child and also of a crystal child and so forth. Everybody's on their own level or their own step of the ladder of evolution. So we all evolve at our own speed, at our own pace. So that answers that question. The other question you had is about dowsing.
Yes. Have you heard of anything like where you can
So it's another form of muscle testing, and some people use rods, other people use pendulums to get an answer. That's what you mean.
Okay,
right?
Maybe you can answer that question, Karen. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just an intuitive tool that people use for those listeners that aren't familiar with dowsing. I have friends that do dowsing professionally. For example, I had a friend douse my house and found that there were some negative vortexes in my house that we then corrected. So as far as I think, Pat, you're looking for some sort of diagnosis, and I don't think you can really peg you know that exactly that way. Not that it would hurt to try, but it'd be interesting to try to figure out what question to ask to get a specific yes or no answer. So I think, Pat, what you're looking for is, you know, to be in front of someone and say, is so-and-so a next human child? And I think as long as you know what that term means, then you probably could use dowsing. Just keep in mind that dowsing is not 100%, so it has to do with the expertise of the person doing it and how consistent they are and how much they can let go of the outcome, because you can't influence the outcome if you have an attachment either way. So does that help, Pat?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to tell Jason, thank you so much for validating this, because I've been talking about this for years, and people look at me like I have two heads. So I know it's for real. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Pat, for your question.
You're welcome.
Well, Jason, that, you know, our time is running down here, and this has been so incredibly interesting. Do you have any advice for, I have a couple of friends with young babies who cannot sleep, and so the parents are completely and utterly pulling their hair out and stressed out because they're not getting any sleep either. So do you have any tricks or advice for these parents?
How old are the babies?
I would say now they're probably almost 2 years old.
Oh, okay.
And these kids basically did not sleep from day one and still don't.
Okay. Well, I would recommend looking up, what really helped me tremendously to start sleeping better, and I didn't sleep for the longest time either, I had an upper cervical imbalance, and this is what happens a lot of times when children are born. If they do have some sort of a traumatic birth, or even if they're mishandled, or at some point there's the slightest of trauma to the brainstem, the C1 and C2 vertebrae, which house the brainstem, and so that can cause an upper cervical imbalance. And if they seek an upper cervical care practitioner, ucspine.com is the website to find one in their area. And this is only about 5% of chiropractic. This is not a typical chiropractic modality. It's very specialized. And what they do is they just tap that area, and then you use to have a special meter that reads to make sure that the spine is aligned. And then once it's free from nerve interference, then the circulation and the blood and everything is returned to normal balance, and then the baby is able to sleep. And inner ear disorders like inner ear infections, gone within just one treatment of upper cervical care. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of studies out there to corroborate that. And I write about that in the third chapter of the book, because that's been a lifesaver for me. I had severe chronic dizziness for 6 years. I felt like somebody was pushing me to one side. And that inner ear dizziness was created because of an imbalance, because I had two car accidents when I was a child, when I was a teenager, and that whiplash created a subluxation in the spine that created impedance, interference in the nerves, because your brainstem controls the nervous system for the entire body. And when there's trauma to that brainstem, that creates an imbalance. And so it's, and as you write about in your book, it's so important to balance the brain, right? Mm. And so that's one way that I found that really helped me to do it, getting those upper cervical care treatments. So that's one way that they can do to look into. Another suggestion is perhaps a Reiki practitioner. That also may help too. To help the baby sleep better too.
Yes, thank you for that. And I was thinking that, you know, you mentioned before that these kids are very, very sensitive. That's my experience working with some of them in the office, that they're so sensitive to chemicals and in particular electromagnetic radiation. And so that, you know, given the way our homes are built right now, everyone has wireless internet and they've got, you know, walkie-talkies and baby monitors that also radiate wireless radiation, I'm suspecting that probably can't be helpful.
because, like you said, they're so sensitive to that. The EMF pollution, absolutely. And I'm so glad and grateful that you go into that detail in your book, because that is so important for these next human children to avoid at all costs. So by all means, do everything you can to protect your children from that EMF radiation.
Right, and now we have some great tools. I mean, certainly it's not practical for everyone to sleep outside in a cave. So, you know, grounding tools and, healing mats that have grounding energies in them can be helpful, though, you know, we're not really curing or treating a disease, but certainly they are sensitive to so-called, you know, this negative electrosmog and this negative energy, and then increasing the grounding may be helpful as well, I was thinking. So we do have, I know we're over time here, but we do have another question if you've got time for it, Jason.
Absolutely, let's go.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so caller, phone number ending in 1231. Do you have a question,
Karen,
for Jason?
Hi, it's Grace.
Hi, Grace.
How are you?
Good, thanks. What question do you have for us?
I just want to confirm the upper cervical care treatment. Is that ucspine.com?
Yes.
Okay. And Karen, for you, this is a question for you. Can you use the patches for that cervical, you know, for the brainstem?
Well, I think
maybe
that
neon?
If yeah. Well, that's a great question. Now, for those who are listening, Grace is referring to the LifeWave patches, which are a form of acupuncture, but in the form of a patch without any needles, and there are several different types. There's like Ice Wave for pain, and then there's Eon for inflammation and stress. And so, you know, if I could identify the issue, and sometimes, you know, these kids don't have pain, so sometimes it's hard to know. But now that we know there could be an issue there, I would just personally, I would probably muscle test that question and say, okay, does this child have an imbalance at C1, C2, or in the brainstem? If the answer is yes, then I would ask, you know, their bodies, would LifeWave patches be for their highest and greatest good? And then if I get a yes, then I'll ask which one. I'll say, would the Eon be for their highest, greatest good? And if no, would Ice Wave be for their highest and greatest good? And go out down the line and figure out which patch would be best or which combination. And then I would place them kind of the same way. Now, usually with Ice Wave, there's two patches, so the energy actually travels from one to the other, so it moves energy. So often, you know, for pain issues and things like this, it might be more helpful to have energy move from one place to another to realign the area to support it. Although I've had other people where they've, you know, had an issue in their neck, for example, and they just use the Eon because that's all they've had. They didn't have the pain ones, and that works as well. So I think I just tend to use muscle testing in my office because I think it's just the fastest, quickest way to get an answer. Certainly people can try, and, the only thing with children, if they're really, really young, like if they're babies, I would definitely want somebody to, you know, to check in with their healthcare provider, if they have a holistic provider, because the child cannot give feedback. So you wouldn't want to put, you know, a glutathione patch on a baby and leave it on all day because you have no idea, you know, how the baby's feeling because the baby can't tell you. Would I use it on my child? Probably, but I would be able to muscle test that and know exactly how long to use it for. Like, it could be 5 minutes. It could be 2 seconds. Go ahead, Grace.
Exactly what Jason mentioned are the symptoms that I had. Left that, you know, have been really irritating to me, the exact symptoms. And it sounds, you know, I knew it was the nervous system and I knew it was my brainstem. So, and then when I talked to you, I had tried the Eon on the brainstem and I did so much better. I mean, I'm out of patches and they're coming Thursday, but I'm dying to get my hands on them because I know that I could fix it with it because I felt so much better and I was left off, you know, I wasn't off balance. I wasn't as dizzy, and I was just doing so much better.
Okay, great.
So I do think that it does work.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, we just, you know, because the patches have not been tested in young children, you know, we usually just recommend in children that they need to be within, you know, speaking age so they can give feedback. You know, but like I said, if it were my baby, I could muscle test and know exactly, you know, how long to use them, which often is like seconds to minutes in really.
So you're
really
actually
young.
Only talking about babies. You're not talking about adult children that had problems throughout their life. Like my daughter, she has, you know, the speech delay and continues to have that.
Oh, well, Jason's talking
and
about
and she's 25.
Yeah, Jason was talking about all age groups, right, Jason? Because you yourself had those issues as an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that I was talking about babies only because I was mentioning about the sleep issue earlier with babies.
Yeah, I'm on what Jason was saying. I'm very interested in what he said for himself, and it sounds exactly the doctors can't figure out. They want to do a spinal tap and see if there's Lyme in the, you know, and I'm sure if it comes up Lyme, they're going to say it was a past infection and it's not going to do anything for me anyway.
No, I spent over $40,000 on tests. I had, and then they said they verified there was an inner ear disorder, but they didn't know what was causing it, and they certainly couldn't do anything about it. And this is the most advanced stages of modern medicine, and they didn't help me at all. So it wasn't until I started seeing an upper cervical chiropractor. By the way, that website is UPC.
UPC.
Yeah.
Okay. UPCspine.com.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
I'm very interested. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just go to see a and they'll give you a free consultation and just go in and tell them, you know, what your condition is and see what they say. And you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. because that certainly that frees up the nervous system and restores balance to the brainstem and to the nervous system. Because without the nervous system, then without nerve supply to your heart stops beating. Without nerve supply to your lungs stop breathing. The nervous system, until you get that freed up and balanced properly, then you're going to either be in pain or you're going to be suffering of some sort of chronic disease.
Right. Did it affect your eyesight as well?
My eyesight?
Yeah, did that affect your eyesight? No, okay.
No. There was nothing wrong with my eyesight. My problem was chronic fatigue, inner ear disorder, chronic dizziness, PMJ. All of that was screwed up because of those car accidents. Of course, the chronic fatigue it consisted of a lot of other problems too, but mainly hormonal imbalance, which was later corrected by the diet, the ketogenic diet. But that inner ear disorder didn't go away until I started getting upper cervical pair treatment.
How many treatments do you have to go through?
Well, it depends. I mean, I had it for many, many years, so it took it took time. I mean, just like anything, it develops over time. It takes time to reverse the disease as well, especially for chronic diseases such as, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and other diseases that could linger on for years. The body doesn't just cure them overnight. That's not the way it works. It will cure them over time if you have the right healing modality that's allowing the body to do so. Only the body can cure itself of chronic disease.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No doctor is going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Grace, for your question.
Cameron, one more thing. The sugar that he mentioned, the stevia, what does he think about the xylitol instead of the stevia? Is he familiar with xylitol?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, there are some good benefits to that, too. I used it temporarily, but I stick with the stevia just because I like to play it safe. Xylitol is still a sugar, chemically. Obviously, it's not as harmful as the other saccharides that are out there, but I only use stevia. That's just my personal preference. I like the taste of it. I only get it from pure form, from the stevita.com. They can point you to the right websites that sell it. If you buy stevia in the raw at the health food store, you're going to get muscle dextrin added to it, and other fillers. So I usually don't buy it at the store. I just order it online.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks, you.
Grace.
Well, thanks so much, Jason. Again, everyone who's listening, jasonlincolnjeffers.com. You get a copy of his awesome book, The Next Human, as well as if you're interested in a consultation with him, whether it's astrological or maybe you need support around your children who are indigo or crystal, or maybe you yourself are as well or wondering whether you are. So Jason can help you with that. So thank you again so much, Jason, for your time. This has absolutely been wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Karen, so much for having me. It's been a pleasure as always, and can't wait to come back.
All right, fantastic. And thanks to all of our listeners for listening in. Until next time, take care, everyone. Bye for now.